Okay, we're starting here on the Mishnah on Lamed Tet Amud Aleph. The Mishnah begins, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rosh Hashanah Shehaya Yarei Shema Titaber. Person was afraid that Rosh Hashanah would end up being Me'ubar. Me'ubar because the Safek with regards to Rosh Hashanah is the same Safek that you would have with regards to Rosh Chodesh, which is, did they make Elul into an Mubar? Did they make it into a 30-day month? Or was it a 29-day month, which would be the determining factor for when Rosh Hashanah falls out. Rosh Hashanah is going to fall out in Aleph Tishrei. Is Aleph Tishrei on the 30th day of Elul or is it on the 31st day of Elul? So here he's uncertain as to when Rosh Hashanah will fall out. Where this person is, Rashi says, Bigola Kamairi. We're dealing with someone in the Gola. It's interesting that Rashi notes here that it's Bigola. For a number of reasons, we'll discuss Tosafot as well in a little bit. There is a Machloket HaRishonim with regards to what the practice was in Eretz Yisrael with regards to Rosh Hashanah. Everybody agrees that in Chutz La'aretz they kept 2 days of Rosh Hashanah like they do with any other of the Chagim of the holidays. But with regards to Rosh Hashanah, it was unclear as to what the Minhag was in Eretz Yisrael as to whether they kept a single day of Rosh Hashanah or 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Obviously, the practice today is to keep 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. But amongst the Rishonim, that is not so clear that they were keeping 2 days of Rosh Hashanah inside of Eretz Yisrael. The reason that in Eretz Yisrael they would keep 2 days of Rosh Hashanah is because only people within the vicinity of Yerushalayim with the Mikdash would have known as to which day was Mikvah as Rosh Chodesh or as Rosh Hashanah. Outside of the periphery of Yerushalayim, nobody would have known that because they wouldn't be able to get the information prior to Rosh Hashanah being over. So that's the main reason why. Rashi over here mentions Gola, seemingly to imply that this is an issue for the Gola. See in Tosafot later on, maybe there is a reason Rashi mentions Gola, and not just because he thinks it's only happening in Chutz La'aretz. Yayar Yarei Shemeti Daber, so Me'arev Adam Shnei Eruvim. He can make 2 Eruvim, Vomer. And he can say, Eruvim Rishon L'Mizrach, Ubsheni the Marav, on the first day it's on the eastern side, on the second day it's on the western side. Bishon the Marav, or on the first day it's on the western side. Bisheni the Mizrach, and the second day on the eastern side. Eruvi Berishon, my Eruv will take effect on the first day. Ubsheni Kevnevnei Iri, and I'll be like the people of my city on the second day. Or Eruvi Bisheni, my Eruv will take effect for the second day. Uberishon Kevnei Iri. And on the first day I'll be like my city. V'lo hodu lo chachamim. The chachamim did not acquiesce to his position. They believe that he is wrong with this ability to lay out 2 Eruvin for Rosh Hashanah. V'od amar Rabbi Uda, in line with his position, Rabbi Uda also says, Mane adam ala kalkala biyom tov rishon v'ochla b'sheni. A person can conditionally remove trumot and masrot from his basket on Yom Tov Rishon, and then eat it on Yom Tov Sheni. The Gemara will go through the methodology that it uses, but basically, the idea being that when you have a 2-day Yom Tov, one of them is Chol, and therefore by using a conditional removal of the Trumot Masrot, utilizing one of the 2 days, then you'll end up being Mafrish the Trumot Masrot on Chol. And because of that, he thinks you can also on Rosh Hashanah accomplish this. Then V'chein, in addition, so the third statement of Rabbi Yehuda with regards to Rosh Hashanah, if an egg is born on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, tochal b'sheni, you may eat it on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, v'lo hodu lo chachamim. Chachamim do not agree to that position. Bidosa ben Hurkinis, Omer, hover lifnei hateva b'yom tov shel Rosh Hashanah, the one who is the shatz, the bow tefillah on Rosh Hashanah, he should say, Omer, hachalitzenu Hashem Elokeinu et yom marosh chodesh hazeh. That you should, Hashem, be, as Rashi says, hachalitzenu is zarizenu on this day of Rosh Chodesh, im ayom, im lamachar. Whether it's today, or whether it's tomorrow. Ulamachar, Omer, and the next day he says, im ayom, im emesh. Whether it was today, or was it yesterday. Velo hodu lo chachamim. And the chachamim do not agree with him. Won't get that in today's daf, but on tomorrow's daf, you could argue with him on 2 points, and we happen to argue on both of those points, in halacha, which is, one is, he says, you mentioned Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Hashanah also happens to be Rosh Chodesh. Here, Rabbi Dosa ben Urkanus suggests that you mention Rosh Chodesh on Rosh Hashanah. So you could argue on that point. Are you allowed to mention Rosh Chodesh on Rosh Hashanah? The second point is that he says that in davening, you do it on a conditional basis. You say that within the davening you have a condition saying that, well, if today or tomorrow. So obviously when the Ludu Halo Chachamim, they could be arguing on one of those two points. Either they disagree that you mention Rosh Chodesh, or they disagree that you put a condition into the davening. Now, the Gemara continues, Man lo hodu lo. What does it mean that Chachamim lo hodu lo? Who are these Chachamim that do not agree to this position of Rabbi Yehuda? So I'm a Rav, Rabbi Yossi he. That is Rabbi Yossi. The Tanya, because we have a Braita. Modim Chachamim le Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer from our previous Mishnah that said that Yom Tov is Shtei Kedushotein. So the Chachamim agreed to Rabbi Eliezer by Rosh Hashanah. That when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, She'erei Shema Titaber, Me'arev Adam Shnei Ruvim, V'omer Ruvi Rishon L'Mizrach, U'B'Sheni L'Marav, Rishon L'Marav, U'B'Sheni L'Mizrach, Evi Ruvi Rishon, U'B'Sheni K'B'nei Ri, Eruvi B'Sheni, U'B'Rishon K'B'nei Ri. They say that exactly what Rabbi Yehuda says in our Mishnah, that's what the Chachamim say, and they, in essence, are agreeing to that position of Rabbi Yehuda by admitting or agreeing to Rabbi Eliezer's position regards to Yom Tov. As Tosafot points out, it turns out that the Chachamim's position is a little strange. They believe by a regular Yom Tov that it's Kedusha Achat, or at least Sfukei Misvakele, they have some Safek about it. Comes to Rosh Hashanah, they think that it is Shtei Kedushot. Yom Tov and Shabbat, but it would apply to Shtei Yom Tovim Shagaliot as well. They would believe that that is one Kedusha, or it's at least Sfukei Misvakele over here, Rosh Hashanah. For sure, Shtei Kedushot. As Tosafot points out, it's the exact opposite of how we paskin. We paskin that Rosh Hashanah is Kedusha Achat, and that any other Yom Tov or Yom Tov and Shabbat are Shtei Kedushot. So here you have the Chachamim's position, at least according to the Gemara, being the exact opposite of how we paskin the Halacha. But it's not the Chachamim who are the authors of the Chachamim's position here in our Mishnah, but rather Rabbi Yossi. Because Rabbi Yossi says, Amar lehen Rabbi Yossi, Atem modim shim bo edim min amincha odamala, yomogim oto ayom kodesh, ulamar char kodesh. Don't you agree that if the edim came from after mincha time and onward, that they used to keep 2 days of Yom Tov, despite the fact that they knew for certain that the next day was Yom Tov? What Rabbi Yossi here is referring to is the practice that they had in the time of the Beit HaMikdash. The Beit HaMikdash, they had to make decisions that we don't have to make today, which is about the Korbanot. They're waiting for the Edim to come and tell them whether today is Rosh Chodesh, today is Rosh Hashanah, or is tomorrow Rosh Hashanah. So in the morning, they brought the regular Korbanot, the Korbanot of Chol, Tamid Shel Shachar. They said the Shir Shel Yom of Chol. But then it came to the late afternoon, and now they have to make a decision. The Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim has to be brought before the end of the day. The Edim have yet to show up, but Beit Din is saying maybe they will show up. So now they go ahead and they bring the Korban Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim. At that point in time, once they brought the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim, they basically closed the day in Korbanot. Plus, they have to make a decision about which Shir they're saying. Are they saying Shir Shel Rosh Hashanah or Shir Shel Yom of Chol? Now, if that's the case, you've now locked in the day once you brought the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim, despite the fact that there's time left in the day. So what happens now if Edim show up after the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim is brought? So they had a Takana or Gzeira put in place because they had problems in previous years where they ran into issues with Edim coming late in the day. They made a decision that Min HaMincha Mala automatically that day was not Rosh Hashanah, the next day was Rosh Hashanah. They basically made a cutoff. They made a deadline. They said, if you don't come in a mincha ulamala, then automatically the next day will be Rosh Hashanah, because that way they could deal with the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim. They had enough time to deal with the Korban, to do it properly, and not be in this position where they're caught, trying to delay as much as possible to accept the Edim. So what happens in that instance? All of a sudden, they bring the Korban Shel Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim, and sure enough, the Edim show up after the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim. Well, if they show up after the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim and say, we saw last night, we saw the new moon, that means that that day is really Rosh Hashanah, despite the fact that Takanat Chachamim was that the next day would be Rosh Hashanah. So in that case, they kept the first day Kadosh, and the second day Kadosh. And nobody's going to argue that the reason they're keeping both days Kadosh is because of the Safek. We know already which day is technically Rosh Hashanah. That's tomorrow, because that's the way Chachamim instituted. That's the Takanat Chachamim. And so we know it's tomorrow, yet we still keep the first day as being Kadosh. So what Rabbi Yossi proves from this is that the Kedushat Ayom, or the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, is not necessarily premised or based in the fact that we have a Safek here. It's not about uncertainty. Even when we're certain, we still end up keeping 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. And based on that, he wants to suggest that that means that it must be Kedusha Achat. that there aren't 2 days. It's not a safek. And he is the person arguing, or the author of that position here, the Chachamim, that argue on Rabbi Yehuda and our Mishnah, who says that it's shtei kedushot. Rabbi Yossi is of the position that it is kedusha achat. Right now, Tosafot here mentions that, based on what we just said now, it turns out that this whole machloka between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi is only relevant bizman Beit HaMikdash. That after the Beit HaMikdash, when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai came back and said, or reinstituted the original din, which is that we would accept a din all the way to the end of the day, because he no longer had the problem. After the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed, you're not worried about the Tamid Shem ben Arbaim. The fact you're not worried about the Tamid Shem ben Arbaim means that why not accept a din all the way through the day? So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai took it back to the original status and said that you can accept a din all day. Once you've done that, Rabbi Yossi's position dissolves, because you no longer have this issue of keeping 2 days of Rosh Hashanah not Mi'as Safek. The only reason to keep 2 days of Rosh Hashanah is Mi'as Safek. So he says, it turns out to be very strange. It's going to turn out here that this whole machloka between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda is limited to Zman Beit HaMikdash, not even relevant today. Because once Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai set it back to the original status, even Rabbi Yossi agrees that 2 days of Rosh Hashanah is Mi'as Safek, not because of Kedusha Achat. Here, Tosafot says something very interesting. He says that when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai set it back to the original status, which is that we accept Eidim all day, that only changed that fact for Eretz Yisrael, or those places close to Yerushalayim. It did not change the fact that in the Gola, they had 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. And he said, since the original reason that they had 2 days of Rosh Hashanah was Kedusha Achat, and now, even though Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is changing it back to make it that it's only Mi'as Safek and not Kedusha Achat, since for the Gola, it made no difference what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai did, therefore they kept keeping 2 days Rosh Hashanah, and they still have a status of Kedusha Achat. It's only those places in Yerushalayim, or close to Yerushalayim, or close to the Beit Din, where it would have made a difference when the Edim came, that when they keep 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, that's Mi'as Safek. And so therefore the status changes. Based on that, now we can go back. I mentioned before about Rashi, who says that this Mishnah is discussing the Gola. It's very interesting, because it might be discussing the Gola, because in the Gola, you can always have Rosh Hashanah be Kedusha Achat. Even after Churban HaBayit, in the Gola, Tosafot claims that Rosh Hashanah still maintains Kedusha Achat, as opposed to in Eretz Yisrael, where it might have changed, or close to Yerushalayim, where it might have changed, and become Misafek and not Kedusha Achat. And that might be why Rashi mentioned Bigola instead of what I mentioned earlier about this machloket about whether Rosh Hashanah had 2 days inside of Eretz Yisrael or not in the modern era. So that's an interesting little nuance that Tosafot discusses over here as to where or how this machloket plays out. So then, Rabbanon, what did the Rabbanon do with Rabbi Yossi's position? He happens to be right that there are times you keep 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. It has nothing to do with the safek. Hatam kihechei delo lezilzul ube. That's a basic problem that we have. If 3/4 through the day, the Edim show up after Min HaMincha Lomalo, after Mincha time. So we know that the Chamim through their Takana forced Rosh Hashanah to be the next day. But they had kept, until that time, they had kept Rosh Hashanah as a day of Yom Tov. Maybe the Edim will come. So what are you going to do? All of a sudden, Mincha Lomalo comes, you're going to say, all right, guys, it's not really Rosh Hashanah anymore. You can do your Malacha, you can do whatever you want. If you say that to people, you know what's going to happen the next year when you tell them to keep Rosh Hashanah, and they're going to say, you know, look what happened last year. Last year, we kept Rosh Hashanah, and then all of a sudden, they told us halfway through the day, ah, it's not really Rosh Hashanah. Once you do that, people are not going to buy into the whole Takana, are not going to buy into keeping this day Misafek, and they won't keep it. So in order not to come to Zuzulei Bay, they maintain the day B'Kdusha, not because it's not a Safek, not because it's a Kdusha Achat. They simply kept it in order to maintain the Takana. It allowed them to maintain the Takana. Without that, the Takana wouldn't have stayed in place because people would not have bought into this idea that you can't keep a half day of Yom Tov. If you keep a half day of Yom Tov, the next year they would keep nothing, and then they would lose the whole ability to have Rosh Hashanah on the proper date. Because maybe the next year the Yedim would show up, and it would be Yom Tov, and these people would be Mechalel Rosh Hashanah because they wouldn't keep it up front. So in order to prevent those types of problems, they said once you start the day B'Kdusha, we finish it B'Kdusha. Again, not because they made it into an institution of Kedusha, but simply to protect the ability to do this in future years. Now, V'odamar Rabbi Yehuda, our Mishnah gives 3 examples by which Rabbi Yehuda proves that, or says his position is that the Rosh Hashanah is Kedusha Achat. So now, V'tzricha, we need all 3 of these instances, because we wouldn't have known one from the other. Di Ashmi Inan, had they only told us about Rosh Hashanah, about the first statement of Rosh Hashanah, which is Bahakamar Rabbi Mishum Lo Ka'aved Midei. Because over there, you're not doing anything. In terms of the Eruv, you're just setting up your Eruvin. So maybe over there, that is Rabbi Yehuda's position that it is Shtei Kedushot. Aval Kalkalo, the Mechzege Metakein Tivlo. But when it comes to the basket, where it looks like you're being Metakein Mono, where you're doing something on Rosh Hashanah, you're taking off Chumot and Masrot, Ema Modulu the Rabbonon. Maybe you would agree to the Rabbonon that it's a Kedusha Achat. We're not going to let you do something that is an obvious Chilul of the Yom Tov if we allow you to do it. Vishminyan Hanitarte, even if you told us about these two things, the Eruv, and the case of Kalkala, Mishum Deleka the Migzar Alayu. There's no reason to be Gozer. Aval Beitza, the Ikum Migzar Bo, but by Beitza, which has broader implications, because there's a reason to be Gozer by Beitza, Mishum Perota Noshrim, Mishum Mashkim Shizavu. Again, we're getting into Beitza a little bit. This is the first Sugi and Beitza about regarding what the problem is of Beitza Shnoldavi Yom Tov. What's the issue? We discussed already one possibility of the issue is that it's a problem of Achano, problem of Achano de Rabba. The other possibility here is that it's a gzeirat or takanat chachamim. That is that the egg has similarity to either picking fruits. It's like a derivative of an item. The fruits are a derivative of the tree. The egg is the derivative of the chicken. So you would think, just like you could take an egg on Yom Tov as a derivative of chicken, you so too you could pick fruits. Not pick the fruits, but you could take fruits that fell off the tree on Yom Tov. You'd be allowed to use them. The difference is that one is muksa, one is not muksa. Perot and Ushrim, you didn't have in mind when you came into Yom Tov, so they remain muksa. They were attached to the tree when you came into Yom Tov. The egg that's in the chicken is mukhan al gadei imo. Its mother is not muksa, because you could eat the chicken on Yom Tov. You're allowed to shecht the chicken on Yom Tov. Therefore, the beitza is also not muksa. But people would not be able to make that distinction, and therefore they were gozer that eggs were impermissible on Yom Tov in order to ensure that the gzeira of perot and oshrim, it's not really gzeira, but muksa that relates to perot and oshrim, stayed in place. Because otherwise people would make mistakes about the understanding of derivatives of another item. Or mishum mashkim shizavu. Same problem you have with fruits that have liquids that come out of them. You're not allowed to do schita on Yom Tov and Shabbat. Schita is asura. Now what happens if liquids emanate from a fruit by themselves? There the Chachamim were goes there that you're not allowed to use those liquids because we're afraid if we allow you to lose those liquids, you will also squeeze those liquids, do schita, or problem of muksa again, that it wasn't necessarily in mind before Shabbat. And so they, other dayan in the Gemara and Beitza thinks that the giving birth to the egg is the equivalent of liquids that emanate by themselves from a fruit. Just like the egg here emanates from the chicken by itself, it happens without any human intervention. So they thought you would confuse those two items. Again, the difference being that the egg is not muksa. But that is the gzeira. So the gzeira has broader implications. Eino chanami, that I would think that Rosh Hashanah is 2 days and Kedushot, Rabbi Yehuda says. And by Eruv, I'll let you do it. By being mafrish Trumot Masrot, I'll let you do it. What I won't let you do is eat the egg, because if I let you eat the egg, it has broader implications. Impacts other gzeirot, other issues of muksa, and that I'm not going to let you do. Even though I believe it's Shtei Kedushot, it's not a problem, I don't want to do that because it's broader implications. I would have thought he would have said that. Ema modul rabbanu, we think he would agree. The rabbanu, tzricha, no. He says in each of these cases, Shtei Kedushot. In all these cases, Rabbi Yehuda believes it's Shtei Kedushot, and therefore he permits Eruv, he permits doing the Mafrish Tumot and Masrot al Yedei Tanai, and he permits taking the egg that was born on the Yom Tov. So now next, how do we do this? Mafrish Tumot and Masrot al Yedei Tanai. Tanya, Ketzad, how do you do this? I'm Rabbi Yehuda, Matneh Adam al Kalkala b'Yom Tov Rishon, v'Ochla b'Sheni. He said that you can make a condition on the basket and end up eating it from Yom Tov Rishon, and then put it on Yom Tov Sheni and eat it. So this is how you do it. Hayulu fanav shtei kalkalot shel tevel. He has two baskets of tevel in front of him. Omer, and this is what he states. Im hayom chol, if today is a weekday, ulemachar kodesh, and tomorrow is the real Rosh Hashanah, tehezu truma al zu. The right one is truma on the left one. And then he leaves it. V'im hayom kodesh, but if today is kodesh, today is really Rosh Hashanah, ulemachar chol, and tomorrow's a weekday, ein bedvarai klum, I didn't say anything. V'kora le'ashem, and then he calls the right basket, and he says, that is truma. Hinei zeh truma, says that basket is truma. Umenicha, and then he leaves it. Ulemachar, and the next day, hu omer. He says, im hayom chol, if today, the second day is chol, tezu, truma, zu. The right one should be truma on the left one. V'im hayom kodesh, If today is Kodesh, today is the real Rosh Hashanah, ain't bedvarai klum. Then I didn't just say anything. Bekorah le Hashem, he has to call it Chuma again. Ve'ochla, and now he can eat it. Mimon of Shach. He was successful, because either the first day was Chol, and he made it Chuma on that day, or the second day was Chol, and he made it Chuma on that day. And either way, Mimon of Shach, he hit a day of Chol, and therefore he now has his Chuma, and he should be able to eat it. Rabbi Yossi Ozer, Rabbi Yossi, the Rabbi Yossi that we met already, says that it's Asur, because he considers it to be Kedusha Achat. And being Kedusha Achat, there is no safek here. It's not one day Chol, one day Kodesh. It is both days Kodesh, Yoma Arika. It's a long day that is Kadosh, and therefore you don't have this ability to make a condition to separate out the Chumot Masrot, because you don't have any day of Chol in here. You don't have any weekday inside of that. Now we have another statement in the name of Rabbi Yossi. V'chenaya Rabbi Yossi Oser b'shnei yamim tovim shel galiot. Now you have an amazing position, which is that Rabbi Yossi thinks that shnei yamim tovim shel galiot is also Kedusha Achat. Not just Rosh Hashanah, but also shnei yamim tovim shel galiot. Now, we have to understand this. Rabbi Yossi explained to us what his position is with regards to Rosh Hashanah. It's Kedusha Achat because of the Takanat Chachamim, that they didn't accept Eidimim in Amincha Amala. So there's a possibility you have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, nothing to do with Safek. But Shnei Yomim Tovim Shel Galiot, you don't have that. It's clear that Shnei Yomim Tovim Shel Galiot is premised on Safek. And so then, what is Rabbi Yossi's position? So Rashi says, even though for certain Rabbi Yossi knows that the whole reason they're keeping 2 days of Yom Tov in the Galut is a Safek, and one of them for certain is Chol, afilu achi machmir behu Rabbi Yossi. He's machmir on them. Ve'anach to Rosh Hashanah lo karilu shel galiot. How come Rosh Hashanah before he didn't call that Yom Tov shel Rosh Hashanah shel galiot? V'pnei she'af Yerushalayim pe'amim ayu nasim bet yamim. Because that wasn't only true in the galut. It was true also in Yerushalayim sometimes. Go'en shebo edim min amincha lamala. So Rashi says that Rabbi Yossi's position here is simply a chumrah. He understands that the core part of his reason doesn't apply to Shtei Yomim Tovim Shel Galiot. Nevertheless, he's machmir and says that anytime you have 2 days of Yom Tov, it is Kedusha Arika, it's a Kedusha Achat. And Rashi over here says that it's called Shtei Yomim Tovim Shel Galiot because Rosh Hashanah might apply even inside of Eretz Yisrael. But you see, Rashi says, oh, it might apply even to Yerushalayim. And that's interesting, because it's Yerushalayim is really the place where it makes a difference, but the distinction is between Galiot and Yerushalayim, not Galiot and Eretz Yisrael, despite the fact they call it Galiot, which is interesting, again, with that machlok, with regards to what was the status of Rosh Hashanah inside of Eretz Yisrael. But you see here, Rashi acknowledges that there was a possibility of Shnei Yomim Tovim Rosh Hashanah inside of Eretz Yisrael. So how Bar Tavia, the Ata LeBei Reish Galuta, there was this deer that was brought, venison, that was brought, roasted venison that was brought to the house of the exilarch. Ditatsi b'Yom Tov Rishon Shel Galiot. It was captured on the first day of Yom Tov. V'ishtachit b'Yom Tov Sheni. And was shechted on the second day of Yom Tov. Rav Nachman v'Rav Chista achlo. They ate it. They enjoyed themselves. They had a wonderful meal on Yom Tov Sheni. They said, no problem. If it was captured on the first day of Yom Tov, might have been Yom Tov, so that's problematic. Might have been Chol, not problematic. Come to the second day of Yom Tov, you shecht it. That's mutar. Ochel nefesh is mutar on Yom Tov. They shecht the animal. Mimon of shach, it's fine. Either it was captured on Yom Tov. By now, on Yom Tov Sheni, we've waited Kadesh Yasu. We made an amount of time that you could have done this on Yom Tov, on the second day. And it's Chol today, we can eat it. Or, the first day was Chol, and there was never a problem with the animal that was captured, and we're eating on the second day. Anyway, so Rashi says that the person who trapped it was a Nachri. It was a non-Jew that brought it in. But assuming that it was brought in by a non-Jew on the first day of Yom Tov on behalf of the exilarch's house. So Rav Nachman and Rav Chista enjoy it. Rav Sheshet lo achal. Sheshet refused to eat. Amar Rav Nachman, my avid lay the Rav Sheshet lo achal bisrit davya. What are you giving up this opportunity to eat this great venison here, this roasted deer meat? I mean, why are you passing this up? Amar lay Rav Sheshet, v'heche yichol. The Tani Isi, he says, how can I eat? Because I have this memra from Isi. V'amri la, Isi Tani? That if Isi said something, how could I eat? Meaning one is benichuta, one is bebitmia. Chenaya Rabbi Yosei Oser, Shnei Yomim Tovim Shel Galiot. He's quoting Isi, the one that we just saw before, in the name, V'chen Haya Rabbi Yosei Omer, He says from Isi that Isi is the author of that memra from Rabbi Yossi. That Rabbi Yossi says that Veshnei Yomim Tov Mishal Galiot, it has a din of Kedusha Achat. Well, if that's the case, I can't eat this deer. I don't have the Maman of Shach. I don't have the possibility of saying one day is Chol here. They're both Kadosh. And so how could I ignore Isi and Rabbi Yossi? Amarovo, my Kushya. Doma Achit Amar. What is the question here? Maybe this is the position of Rabbi Yossi. When he says Vechena Rabbi Yossi, means this. Vechena Rabbi Yossi Oser Veshnei Yomim Tovim, a Yom Tov Shel Rosh Hashanah B'Golah. That's the same thing Rabbi Yossi says about the 2 days of Yom Tov in the Golah. Where it says, yeah, that doesn't work so well. Yochi Shel Galiot. Right? Why do you say Yom Tov Shel Galiot? It really should be B'Golah, mi ba'yilei. It's not about all the Yomim Tovim of the Galiot. That's what it seems to be, what Rabbi Yossi is saying. Rather, it's simply about one Yom Tov in the Golah, which is Rosh Hashanah B'Golah. So it says, the Lashon doesn't read that way. But Rava clearly believes that Rabbi Yossi's statement should not apply to Yom Tov Shel Galiot, and he's trying to rectify or figure out a way to make Rabbi Yossi not sound like it's about Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galiot. So then, Amar Rabbi Yossi, my kushya. Rabbi Yossi says, what's the question here? Dil ma'alchi kamar. Chayin aya Rabbi Yossi ose isur shnei yomim tovim shel galiot, kishnei yomim tovim shel Rosh Hashanah l'rabbanan desharu. He makes the shnei yomim tovim shel galiot, like the Shnei Yomim Tovim of Rosh Hashanah, according to the Rabbanan, who say it's Mutar, who say that it's Shnei Yomim Tovim and it's not Kedusha Achat. Now, that is a far-fetched explanation in the words of Rabbi Yossi. Despite the fact Rashi says we want to do that, because you have a principle with regards to Rabbi Yossi, which is Ta'amo v'nimoko imo. When Rabbi Yossi spoke, it's assumed that the Halacha is like him, because he was very careful about his memrot, about where he got it from and his understanding, and therefore we pass on the Halacha like Rabbi Yossi. So since we're going to pass on the halacha Rabbi Yossi, we don't want Rabbi Yossi saying something that turns out not to be the halacha, which is that Yomim Tov Mishal Galiot should be Kedusha Achat. So even though we have to have this far-fetched explanation, the Gemara prefers this over having Rabbi Yossi believe that Shtei Yomim Tov Mishal Galiot is Kedusha Achat. Ashmechei Rav Sheshet, the Rabbi Bar Shmuel. Rav Sheshet bumps into Rabbi Bar Shmuel. Amarlei, Tani Mar Midei B'Kedushot. Did you learn something about the Kedushot of Yom Tov? Amarlei, Tanina. Yeah, we did actually learn something today. Mode Rabbi Yossi b'shnei yomim tovim shel galiot. That Rabbi Yossi, even though over here by Rosh Hashanah thinks it's a kedusha achat, he agrees by shnei yomim tovim shel galiot that it's shnei kedushot. So now Rav Sheshet is, oh my gosh, I'm like, imishkachadu. If you see by any chance Rav Nachman and Rav Chista, lo temelahu v'lo midi. Don't tell him what you learned today, because he was so embarrassed that he didn't eat the meat that they had eaten, and now he could have eaten it, because he had the wrong memra in the name of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi really didn't say that. Rabbi Yossi really said, only Rosh Hashanah, and not, Shtei Yomim Tovim Shel Galiot. Amar Ravashi Lidi Amar Li Ameymar. So Ravashi says, Ameymar taught me, how Bartavia, Lavit Sudei Tehatzit. It wasn't a case where it was captured on the first day of Tov, Ela Michutz L'Tchum Ato. It came from outside of the Tchum. So the problem was not of a Doraita nature, the right to nature, meaning that it's a Torah violation of malacha of capturing the animal. Rather, it was an issue, derabanan, that was brought in, michutz l'tchum. Mandachal, the one who ate it, savar, habab b'shvil Yisrael zeh, mutar l'Yisrael acher. When it was brought, michutz l'tchum, it was brought by a non-Jew, michutz l'tchum. So, they think it was brought in particular for an individual. If they bring it for a particular individual, that individual is a suer, but anyone else can eat it. So that's why they ate it. But Rav Sheshet, Uman de lo achal, Rav Sheshet believes, Sabar called Ate the Bei Reish Galuta, Date the Kule Rabbonon Ate. When you bring something to the Exilarch's house, the assumption is that that is food that is partaken of by all the Rabbonon. The Exilarch is representative, he has a large meal on Yom Tov, he invites all the Rabbonon, so therefore it was the equivalent of bringing it with intent for all the Rabbonon. And nobody is exempted from that. Everyone is considered to be the beneficiary of this bringing and the intent of the person who brought it. Va Ashkechei Rav Sheshet, the Rabbi Bar Shmuel, va Amar Lehi. Didn't Rav Sheshet find Rabbi Bar Shmuel and said to him, Lo Tema Lehu V'lo Midei? Well, why don't tell them? This has nothing to do with the situation over here. So it's nothing to do with Rabbi Yossi. This has to do with another issue, which is the issue of Tchum and issue of whether you can be benefit from somebody else's Melocha. So he says, Lo Yud Dvarim Yolam. That never took place. That statement was never true, and that story is not true. So how lifto? Da'ate the mechuza. This turnip showed up in mechuza. Nafak rova, wherever went out, chazia de kamisha. Saw that it was withered up. Shor rova, the mizban minay. Says you can go ahead and buy it. Amar havade mi itmol ne'ekra. That was clearly picked the day before. Mayamart mi chutz l'tchum atyo. So now, okay. She took care of the problem of kotzer, melacha on Yom Tov. The melacha was done yesterday, so that's not a problem. What about the fact that it came from outside of the tchum? Says Abab Yisrael Yisrael Zeh, mutar le'achol Yisrael Acher. If it's brought for one person in particular, then other people can benefit from here. V'chosh kein hai, that didn't achrimata. The person who brought the vegetable cell is not bringing it for the Jews in the city. He's bringing it to sell in general. He's bringing it for the non-Jews in the city. Therefore, the Jews can't partake of it or they can purchase it because there was no violation done in particular for them. Then he realized what was happening was, once the people were bringing it in, realized that not only the non-Jews would buy it, but the Jews would buy it, then they started bringing in more. Once they started bringing in more, it was clear that they were bringing in excess because they knew that the Jews would buy it. And now they're building it on behalf of the Jews. That is problematic. Now, as far as a psak halacha, there are two issues to deal with here. You see there's a massive Tosafot and a massive Rashi that deals with it, which is, what exactly is this amount that you have to wait, and when do you have to wait? If you have two Yomim Tovim, and someone does a melacha on the first day of Yom Tov, when are you allowed to benefit from that melacha? Rashi says, you see from all the Amoraim here, that the only thing that we worry about is the first day of Yom Tov. That means that if you wait b'kdei shi'asu, after the first day of Yom Tov, you can partake of that item. You wait the first day, you can't get benefit from it. After the first day, you can't get benefit from it, because otherwise you're still benefiting from it being done on the first day of Yom Tov. But if you wait k'dei shi'asu, then by the second day of Yom Tov, you can already benefit from it. The Tosafot quotes the Bahag, who says, no, you have to wait both days of Yom Tov, and then only after the second day of Yom Tov, you have to wait k'dei shi'asu. You have to wait the amount of time it takes to finish up the melacha. Their machloket revolves around the reason for this takana or the reason for this gzeirah. Rashi says, what's the problem with benefiting from melacha that was done on Yom Tov Rishon? It's a problem of exactly that. Benefiting from melechet Yom Tov. We don't want you benefiting from melechet Yom Tov. That's not right. That you are getting hana from something that was done on Yom Tov. An isser that was done on Yom Tov. You shouldn't benefit from that. So, in order to rectify that, that's simple. How do you rectify it? You rectify it by saying, I wait after Yom Tov Rishon, b'kdei shi'asu. If I wait after Yom Tov Rishon, b'kdei shi'asu, I'm no longer getting any benefit from that melechet Yom Tov. You could have easily have done it after Yom Tov Rishon, on Yom Tov Sheni now, because you have b'kdei shi'asu, and mimonov shachetz mutar now. And therefore, you're no longer benefiting from melechet Yom Tov, you can benefit after b'kdei shi'asu, after the first day. The Ba'ag believes, the reason that we don't allow you to do this, is shemor yomar le'akum. Or that Shemer Yikavin and Akum. What we're worried about is that you're going to go tell the Nachri to do it on your behalf, or that he's going to do it specifically for you. And therefore we make you wait not only Yom Tov Rishon, but Yom Tov Sheni, because that fear still exists. Not only on Yom Tov Rishon, it fears on Yom Tov Sheni as well. We don't want you to be Mikavin Melachto. We don't want you to have a Nachri do work for you on Yom Tov. And if we allow you to benefit from him, and then what are you going to do in the future? You're going to tell him to do it, because you know you can get the benefit. So he makes you wait Kadesh Shiasu after the second day of Yom Tov, so that there's no reason for you to ask the Nachri to do it, because if we allowed you to use it right after the second day of Yom Tov, you'd still do it, because you benefit from having it right after Yom Tov instead of B'kdei Shi'asu. So their machloket revolves around this point. It also has nafka minot about who it impacts. For Rashi, the Isser to get Hana from Lechet Yom Tov applies to anybody. It applies to any Yisrael. It doesn't matter that he did it for one Yisrael in particular. It applies to the other Yisrael just as much. The other Yisrael has the same restriction of getting a benefit from Melechet Yom Tov. And therefore, after Yom Tov, everybody has to wait Kadesh Yasu to benefit from it. On the other hand, according to the Bahag, the problem is you speaking to the Nachri. And therefore, it would only be that if the Nachri did it specifically for you, would you be the one restricted? For someone else, that's not the case. Because the Nachri didn't do it for that person. And we're not afraid, if you got benefit from it, that you're going to ask the Nachri. The Nachri didn't do it for you. It was done for someone else, so now you get benefit. If you ask the Nachri, then you're restricted. There's a difference here, and therefore the only person that has to wait k'dei shi'asu is the person who the melacha was done specifically for. And so that's a big nafka mina between the two. It's a kula and a chumra in both of the positions. As far as the psak here between Rav Sheshet, about whether it's the kule bayit or it's for just the person who's asur, Tosafot paskins like Rav Sheshet, he says halacha is like Rav Sheshet be isurei, and therefore if melacha is done by a nachri for a specific Jew, his entire household is asur. It's not just him, but his entire household, because they are the equivalent of the Be'eresh Galuta, and they are all restricted. The halacha, the Shulchan Aruch paskins like Rashi, that you only have to wait k'dei shi'asu after the first day of Yom Tov. The Ramos says the minog is like the Tosafot and the Ba'ag, that you have to wait after the second day of Yom Tov. The Taz says, B'makom HaTzorech, that we can rely on Rashi and the Shulchan Aruch. And if you look in the Be'er Halacha, he also basically says that the Ikar Adin is like Rashi. Rashi is really right here. And so, if we're mitzdarif, any other kula, if there's any other reason, any other kula to be mitzdarif, we will be somech on Rashi to be mekel, that if you have, after the first day, Kadesh Yasu, will let you benefit from it on the second day. Gonna stop here.